Hi Aida, wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
Meltdown Comics, the Nerd Melt Theater, Harmontown is now in session. The vodka's on stage. The comptroller is at his desk. Let's welcome the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon. Wow! What a crowd!
I hope some of you got some of Aaron McGathy's cupcakes on the way in.
Loaded with peyote.
Yep. Sorry about that.
By the time D&D starts, it's going to get wild.
I had convinced Aaron on the ride over here tonight. The topic of Kiss came up, the band Kiss, because we drove past a billboard for some new reality show. And I had her convinced for a few blocks that there was a fifth member of Kiss named Kissy Face. That there was Cat Face and Demon Face and Star Face, and but there that there was a guy. The original member was Kissy Face, and he was the drummer, and he had a big hat shaped like lips, and they kicked him out of the band and shortened the name to Kiss.
And you had sold her on that?
She was Googling like crazy. She was looking for pictures. I was like, keep looking. Like, it's not going to... They covered it up.
It's the story Kiss doesn't want you to know.
Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the same billboard I saw about...
It says from Arena Rock to Arena Football.
That's not a reality show. There is a indoor football team called the Los Angeles Kiss.
Okay.
That's an actual indoor football team that's called the Kiss.
Okay.
And that Kiss owns.
Right.
That's not a TV show. That's
well,
not...
it is now, motherfucker. Coming soon to AMC. We just did their work for them.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's what it said. New series coming.
I saw that billboard. Just thought it was an ad, like buy tickets now to go see the Kiss.
No, check it out. Of all the shows we could promote with this show, let's go flock to AMC and watch Kissy Football.
Did I tell you?
It's called Fourth and Rock.
Fourth and Loud. Fourth and Loud, which doesn't rhyme or scan in
how
any
about,
way.
How about Third and Dumb? All right. You may notice, Jeff, that I have a new phone case here. It looks like a book. And it also is a wallet. It's got my driver's license and credit cards in it. A little bit of money. Not a lot.
If somebody in the audience guesses how much money, do they get to keep the whole thing?
No. I don't have a wallet in my back pocket. I am wallet free for the last 3 days. I'm doing an experiment. Can I just have my phone case? I have no wallet in my back pocket. All right, moving on.
my anxiety about that, I'm projecting my own anxiety onto that. You have your phone and all of your essential identification, credit cards, money, all in one basket.
Yeah,
and if you lose your phone, you've lost the whole shop.
Yeah, but I don't lose my phone, and especially now that it's my wallet, I definitely won't, because I'm constantly, that's the uncomfortable thing about it is that I've trained myself, because I used to lose my wallet constantly when I was in my 20s, and I just became, you know, the third time you lose your wallet and you have to get a new driver's license and all that shit, you get really conditioned to, you know, I'm constantly patting my ass whenever I'm anywhere. Like, whenever I stand up, whenever I'm leaving a building, I just give my ass a good pat, and like, and then if there's nothing there, I panic, and then if it's in my front pocket, like, oh, God. So now I I'm also tired of every time I sit down, I have to pull out a phone, I have to pull out a wallet, I stack them up on the table. It's some weird, distracting beginning to every sit down with me. What's this guy like stacking all this shit on the table for? What's his deal? What's he going to put up there next? Like a wrench or a shoe? Who is he? What kind of status play is this? Now I just put down this little book.
I like that it's a little leather-bound edition. It closed. It looks like a little Bible. So you look like a kind of an old-timey preacher.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nice. Although I think I'm going to go back to the iHarmon pretty soon because I just realized something.
You're not going to stick with the iHarmon, man.
I think I am now because I have to remember things. And I think that whatever the thing that stops me from writing them down, I just realize this now. It has nothing to do with the technology or how hard it is, and everything to do with the fact that it always feels weird to pull out your phone and start it up because that looks identical to not giving a shit about what someone's saying. When in fact, like writing it down with a pencil and a piece of paper, they'll be like, "Holy fuck, this guy's really listening to me." So,
Morley Safer is here.
And it's like the opposite. If you get your phone out, it looks like you're texting people while they're talking. Yeah. All right, so that concludes Boring Corner. Shark Week. It's Shark Week, Jeff.
Oh God, it started today.
Yeah.
Look, I didn't watch the last couple Shark Weeks because I didn't like where Shark Week was going.
I just read an article about this.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
So I went and I yesterday went through the DirecTV like DVR, like, you know, the guide kind of thing. I said, let's see what 2014 new shark material is. And they got some doozies coming up.
Well, some of them are lies, Jeff. Lies. There's an article about it.
Shark lies?
In the blah, 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 .com. I didn't write down my sources, but I was reading an article on the way here. Someone who was outraged at how Shark Week's become about lies. Lies. Like fake, sensationalized, like fake documentaries masquerading as real ones.
Well, this one is called there's something that sounds like a movie about a shark.
Like Megalodon.
Megaloshark or something. It's not Megalodon. That's like a prehistoric shark.
But they got one this Shark Week about Megalodon, and it's fake.
But that's all baloney, yeah.
Exactly. And I read an article by a very outraged journalist.
It's abalone. Shark Week is abalone.
And
dot funny.
And Discovery Canada aired a very controversial commercial featuring fake iPhone footage of a shark in Lake Ontario.
What?
And they said, watch Shark Week here in Canada on Discovery Canada. And there was they aired this little iPhone video that they staged with a fake shark in Lake Ontario. And it's just a bunch of guys going, hey man, you want to catch a fish? Yeah, man, let's catch a fish. Whoa, look, a shark. And it's like this shark comes up. And
why are they all from California, though?
Yeah, I just think anyone that does anything physical sounds like this.
Have you seen the Rob Lowe commercial for it? He goes, so sharky.
What?
Rob Lowe is like jet skiing, right? What's he doing? He's standing on sharks, like water skis, kind of, and there's some like bikini gals, and he goes, so sharky.
No, I haven't seen that. I don't understand this person's outrage. Like, I don't know. I guess this brings up an interesting topic. Like, is the media supposed to be supposed to have integrity, or are people supposed to? Hasn't that ship sailed?
Well, I think
isn't the ball in people's court now? Aren't we supposed to have integrity now? We have to realize that the media is full of shit and start acting accordingly.
Is that thing on John Oliver's show? Like last week tonight or whatever, and he talked about where they're making advertisement mimic news articles, like they look like news, and so it's the idea that we're making things look real, but it's all just ads. And like in the LA Times, like years and years ago, started like running things that looked like news at the bottom, like third of the front page, and it was all advertisement, and that caused a big shitstorm.
But you should be able to. I mean, we've entered an age now where it should just be up to people to know that everything they see and hear is fucking garbage bullshit. I mean, we live on the inside of a goddamn honeycomb that we built. The people before us that were raised on media that was full of horse shit too. Like we're three layers deep in a fucking beehive of garbage. Like what? There's nothing. New York Times, fuck off. You can't. There's nothing in there that's true. Everything's the opposite of truth. Like if anything that's not telling you that you live in a giant empire that's running on the blood of the impoverished around the earth, is a lie. There's no sharks in Lake Ontario. And nothing else is true either.
And no myths have been busted.
And by the way, I'm not complaining. I love poor people's blood. It powers my new car. I love it. I just think we should wear togas and commit to it. Like Rome, they didn't have media in Rome. It was like, and people are like, that ad for a chariot looks like a newspaper article. Goo, 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 goo. No, lies, lies. How, what am I to do?
No, people got out there and gave speeches, and they would orate.
Yeah, they would lie that way, and everyone knew they were lying, and then every 5 years they'd kill them. Here comes the big liar. Hey, liar. It's too powerful to call out lying too loud, because then he'll have us killed, but pretty soon, let's rise up and kill him. Everybody knew that everyone was lying. The religion was a lie. Everyone knew it. They're like, what do you worship? A cat god? He meows and makes the moon to turn into the sun. Do you worship him? Worship him? No, I just love the parties. I love dressing like a cat on Saturday. It's just like this idea that anything that you hear from anyone else is anything other than entertainment, edification, like sharing emotion. You know, like what are we? We're a bunch of thumb sucking babies worrying about whether Shark Week has lost its integrity. What is it? Discovery Channel is supposed to be the last bastion of fucking. Well, that's so sad. Like, we all like Breaking Bad. That's a network that used to be American Movie Classics. And everybody headed for the hills at a certain point. They're like, oh shit, internet, run! Everyone change the name of your network and just call it KY Jelly. Don't forget that it used to be Kentucky Yolk.
Finish it.
Jelly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like every network has like these letters, and then you go like, oh yeah, doesn't was that was the Nashville network? Yeah, I guess now it's just fucking whatever, man. Every man for itself.
The Learning Channel and the History Channel have become hilarious.
And then some of them try to like cling to some vestige of their old identity, going like the Learning Channel, because everything's learning. Like, they have these new slogans. Like, you're watching the Discovery Channel. Sometimes television is Discovery.
Right now, you're learning that there's a Munsters rerun on.
The History Channel. You know what tomorrow's history is? Whatever happened today. You know what's happening today? Ben Johnson's eating a sandwich.
Yeah. So, airing tonight, tomorrow's history.
Yeah. All right, so anyways, I mean, let's not, please, it's a television. If you ask a toaster what's the most important thing in the world, it's going to tell you bread. And if you ask a toaster its opinion of bread, it's going to say, I don't think it's toasted enough. So let's look at the television as an appliance. What do you think it's doing? It's making you watch it. Is your neighbor racist? Is it dangerous to go outside? Fuck yeah, says the television. Does your racist neighbor have bread? Says the toaster. Bring it in here. If you can't finish it, put it in me, says the refrigerator. But the fucking television is the worst of all. It's telling you just whatever you do, stay in your living rooms, and it will tell you anything to make that happen. Don't go to church. Don't go skiing.
Does the toaster tell the... When you're in bed at night, does the toaster tell the TV, hey, when they get up, tell them to buy more bread?
I don't know. I don't know.
Nothing but bread commercials on every channel.
The balance has been unbalanced. Yeah, it's, I don't know. Maybe there's like fun musical numbers like Beauty and the Beast. Or the. I met Werner Herzog.
I saw the photo of that. It's amazing.
Yeah, that was after a 15-minute chat about movies. He just came in and did a voice for Rick and Morty.
I have Werner Herzog questions. Did he disappoint or did he satisfy?
I've never met a famous person that was more just exactly what you'd expect. In that which is not to say that he's predictable at all, because what you expect with Werner Herzog is that he's going to come in and like be
abstruse.
Werner Herzog. Yeah, kind of like, so he came in. I said, "Thank you for coming." Oh, thank you.
I found the parking outside.
He wanted to
the
know
the lines that you're supposed to park, and I find
he's coming in to do the voice of a. Of a cartoon alien. It's the character's name is Old Reptile. So he's like, this character, is he
Is he a crocodile? A snake? I said, well, he's an old reptile. He's an alien. I said, do you have some form of... I can't do a make him sound like Peter Lorre.
You were a little Michael Madsen there, too.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a fucking... an ear I could cut off?
So he wanted to see something. I was like, well, this character hasn't been drawn yet.
So there's no concept art.
So we showed him a little bit of Rick and Morty. I showed him like a scene in the from the pilot when they're in the intergalactic customs. So he watches it for a second. He goes,
ah, yes, I see. Yes, they are creatures, but they speak normally. Yes.
Wait. Okay. Second Werner Herzog question. Is Werner Herzog now going in, like, is he going to be on like Bob's Burgers and stuff too? Like,
I hope not.
Is he out doing cartoon voices?
I hope.
How did you pull this?
We just said to the casting department, will he do it? And he's in LA, and they were like, yeah, he'll do it, but he. Well, I don't want to. Yeah, he just did it for scale.
And so you got Werner Herzog in the booth.
Yeah,
and he's got the headphones on.
Yeah,
and who's directing him?
I'm directing him.
And Justin's there probably.
Well, he had a lot of questions about like he was like, so do you want me to do a exaggerated? Why am I? I can't do. I was doing this impression.
Just go
for a
more
while.
German, like be more.
I can't. I think that we have ways of making you talk. That's just a phrase I used to get into my German character. I'm sorry to our German listeners.
It's a little Don Corleone right now.
So. It's the day of my Führer's wedding. You come to me. All right. So, anyways, maybe
so he's in the booth. I mean, tell me about directing.
Well, first he had to understand. He was like, "Do you want me to do a exaggerated version of myself?" I said, "No. Don't do.
Just be Werner Herzog.
Just be yourself." And he's like, "Oh, well, myself is.
Here we go.
You know, that's.
This is an artificial construct."
And I said, "Well, the guy that you are, you know, having grown up watched your movies, like that." That guy, and he's like, oh, well, see, that guy, you know, that is, I am being an exaggerated version of myself. I said, okay, yeah, exactly.
He's
presentational.
In his movies, he's performing for us?
He just means like anybody is. Like when you're talking into a microphone, you step on the gas a little bit. So then he got in the booth, or he watched the cartoon, and he said, yeah, the creatures speak normal. And then he got in, and he does this monologue. And it's about penises, and it's just this big long monologue.
He'd already read the material before he got there.
Yeah, and he said, I read
the screenplay, and I think that it is very funny. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you bet. He went in there, and then he fucking nailed it. Like, first take, he just did it. Because he's playing an old reptile who without spoiling the story, it's a cameo. He's just an old reptile alien who's explaining to the other aliens that he's spent a lot of time on Earth among the Earthlings and noticed their relationship with their penises. So it's just a big long monologue about this cosmic observer talking about how humans feel about their penises.
It's funny when they're small. It's funny when they're big. I've been to parties where men will take an object, hold it in front, and say, "Hey, I'm Mr. So and So Dick."
Was it Pringles by any chance, Ben?
So he nails it, and then we just did some. I was like, "Well, can you do it more intense? Can you do it more tragic? Can you do it more other things?" And then he. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Then he plopped down and talked about. I wanted to talk to him about The Act of Killing because he executive produced that and he explained how he discovered that movie or how it was brought to him by Joshua Oppenheimer and we talked about how amazing that movie was for a while. And it turns out for those of you who have seen it, I won't spoil it for those of you who haven't. Go find The Act of Killing and watch it. I've talked about it on this podcast. It's one of the most incredible documentaries I've ever seen. The ending of it will be particularly impacting to you. And he told the story about how he was actually very key in the way that ending was edited, or rather not edited. He was the voice of trying to convince the filmmaker, you have to show all 3 minutes of this unedited at all. And I said to him, if you do this, if you shoot this movie for 7 years and then edit the final 3 minutes in any way, you have spent your life in vain. And I said, is that also how you order breakfast? If I do not get feta cheese in this scramble, if there aren't also bits of bacon. And I was amazed by his story. I was like, wow, this guy's a real fucking, like, he's a genius. Like, that story proves it. But then he said another story that kind of undercut it. Because he said, who else has done the show? And I said, Stephen Colbert. And he said, I had an influence on Stephen Colbert. I say that with humility. But I was doing his show. And he came up to me in the hallway before. And I had not seen it. So I asked him, is it Colbert or Colbert? And he said, it's the French, it's Colbert. And I said, you know, that being the case, you should think about changing the pronunciation of report and do the French of that, which is rapport. And soon after that, he started using that pronunciation of the show. And
that's adorable.
And I said, did you meet him on The Daily Show, or did you? And he's like, no, his show. And I'm like, oh, that's when he started pronouncing it different. Okay, and then just moved on. But you can just picture Werner Herzog doing that, and Stephen Colbert going, you know what? I'm gonna do that. Like, you know exactly how that story unfolded.
That's so cute.
An amazing guy, and like really just like kind of, yeah, when he enters the room, it's kind of, I don't know, you feel it. What archetype is that? He's like, he fills a niche for people, I think. He's like,
I think sometimes in his documentaries, like Grizzly Man, is sometimes he injects himself a little more than I think he might want to do. Sometimes he makes himself more of like a protagonist in his documentaries sometimes, where he's like, what's up with Grizzly Man? He's like, he's hearing was it the cell phone of the guy getting killed by the bear? Right. And he's like, and he's in front of the wife. And he's like, oh, this is the worst. You should never listen to this. Oh, yes, never listen to this. Don't ever. This is really bad stuff. Don't listen to this.
Yeah, he does a lot of weird stuff. That's why you're watching his movies. You feel this, like, you feel like you're in the hands of some strange master. You know
what's great?
His movies might take some weird left turn. And
have you seen My Best Fiend about him and Klaus Kinski? That's a doozy.
Yeah, that's how I was introduced to him, actually. That was one of Dino's favorite movies, and he showed that to me. But yeah, what a gem. I'd like him to be New Pierce on Community. I think that would be
great. That's
amazing. This things you are talking about at the study room table, I understand the concepts, but the real question is, at what price?
And if you change the letters and price, you get Pierce.
I'm getting a new car. Cheers for her. I know. I said it that way. You reacted that way.
Is this the one that runs on human blood?
Yeah. It's just yes. It has a straw that goes from it to the third world. It's a new, like, super stretchy straw. So no matter where you're driving in L.A., the straw reaches over to the Gaza Strip, and it just sucks up too late. You didn't care 40 years ago.
Their parents weren't alive 40 years ago.
I don't know why I'm trying to high road you. I pay my taxes like everyone else. But anyways, yeah, I'm getting I need to get a new car. So I came home last night.
You remember that Tesla?
We were hanging out. Nah, I decided against the Tesla. It's too. It's out of my. It's not for me. It's for guys that are like, you know, like super like, you know, like Rockefeller, like. You know, I'm not ready yet for the Tesla. It would be
Wayne
silly.
Brady has a Tesla. He's not Rockefeller.
Wayne Brady is more Rockefeller than I am. Wayne Brady can have a Tesla. You shouldn't have a Tesla until you have more than one car. That's what it is. You should have one of those special garages like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like a car garage.
Garage. A garage.
As opposed to the Black Widow toilet storage that I have. I have like six toilets and a bunch of McDonald's cups.
Why do you have six toilets?
I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. Because there was some, and maybe I'm getting myself in trouble by saying
is that an exaggeration, first off?
I think it's like five toilets or something. It doesn't make
sense. Just five toilets looming about in your car garage.
There's three bathrooms in my house, so why would there be more than three toilets? Maybe it's three and it looks like five. Oh, you know what it is? I bet it's like the tank comes in one box or something. I don't know. It's a bunch of boxes.
They're in boxes. There's not just loose toilets just hanging out.
No, they're brand new.
It doesn't look like a public restroom in there.
When I bought my home, the realtor explained to me, I don't know if we're all going to end up in jail for me saying this. The realtor told me in the 70s, there was this law passed that said like anyone that bought a home new had to change the toilets out to these low flush toilets because there was this big drought in the 70s and there was this rule passed. And it's, you know, you're only required to buy the toilets. That's all they're going to check on. So I'll just have them put them in the garage.
What? Why not install them?
Because they're low flush, Jeff. I have giant turds. I'm a 41-year-old behemoth. I'm a human bear.
But low flush toilets still flush the big turds too. They're more modern. They're designed.
So what's the low part that they're like groovy?
I think toilets early on were designed without water conservation in mind, and so they were just needless water usage.
All right. Well, I'll have a TaskRabbit come over. You guys use TaskRabbit? It's like the Uber of having people like do shit around your house. You can just Aaron uses it. You can just call a TaskRabbit.
So you've got boxes of toilets there just as a graft thing, like where you just try to.
It's kind of like when Paulie took over the bar and Goodfellas. Yeah, it's like the toilets came in, they went out. They're just toilets. They're just sitting there. They're brand new toilets. If you want a toilet. Now I feel guilty. I'll have them installed. Jesus Christ. I thought when I heard low flush, I thought, oh, so less turds go down? That doesn't seem very convenient. So anyways, I don't want to get off on a lot of tangents. I'm getting a new car. I need to get a new car, and I want to be very careful about it. I've never really bought a grown-up car before.
What are you getting, Dan?
I don't know, but I came home last night after we were at Little Tom's for a while, and Erin didn't come out because she said she was working on something. It turns out she made a PowerPoint presentation for me to help me price cars and look at them. And it was a little presentation. It was called Honk for Harmon. and then it listed the criteria that I'd been talking about. Turns out the thing that I'm interested in is called infotainment. I didn't know there was a word for it.
I've heard of edutainment, and I like that just as little as infotainment.
Jesus Christ, I thought they fixed the air conditioning in here. All right. It's info. I don't know. There's all the shit that you want to know about a car, but then I'm like, what about the screen and the thing and the doodads?
Yeah, you want the interactivity of the thing. Get a Tesla. They got that giant, like, there's like five iPods in there, iPads.
A Tesla is $60,000 to $100,000. Like, it's like... It's like two. You can't lease one.
You got that Yahoo money now.
I'm spending that on the wedding and also on like we're gonna do crazy shit with Harmontown.com and like I'm already spending too much money. I'm gonna get a really nice like grown up car.
What's the front runners right now for you in the PowerPoint presentation?
Well, I thought I'd share this on the podcast in case any of you car companies out there wanted to. I was thinking maybe a BMW, an Infiniti, a Mercedes, if you're listening out there. You know, I'm still looking around. Give me a call. I mean, I'll only be, you know, doing this podcast for all these...
Why don't we advertise in the show? Do we decide not to?
We're waiting for the big fucking haul. We're not going for that short chump change, short con fucking.
Because I was talking to Wade Randolph today, and he and Willie Roberts have a show. What's it called? Like Real Life Sci-Fi or something like that. And they're already advertising. They already have revenue. They're already pulling it in.
Yeah, but how much?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
I mean, it's like.
Yeah, but we've been courting Nike for 30 years now.
It's beer money if you're down there, you know, smaller audience or whatever. Like if you're not like some kind of big giant thing that people are flocking to hear all their news or something, you can't really. It's kind of like it'll sustain.
When our podcast starts now, it goes Feral Audio, and then my music plays. But right before that, tonight's Harmontown brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Yeah. But they'll just get me like I'll just be saying, "Holy shit, Jeff! I got the BMW SX7599 series. It's so great. I'm such a happier person because of it." You know, I'll be saying stuff like that when I get my new car.
That goes against everything.
I'll be doing it out of honor. I'll be saying it for real. Like the way I say I love Minecraft.
Why aren't they paying you?
They don't need the money, and they don't need to advertise. It's like the best thing in the world. I made a refinery in Minecraft. I had this pipe coming up because I play this like Tech World 2 modded out thing. Yes. Spencer set up a server for it, and so I made a glass dome, and I have these little robots mine for me. Because who the fuck wants to mine in Minecraft? And then they put everything in a chest, and then pumps deliver the ore and everything through these pipes, goes under my glass dome, up through the ground in the center of the dome, and into a series of pumps that go out four ways, separates the cobblestone, the dirt, the sand, and the gravel, and puts them into assembly lines that compress them for easier storage. And I was so proud of myself, and I had a jetpack that I made. And I soared up above the dome to look at my...
We're making podcast history right now.
I soared up above my dome to look at my new refinery.
Wait, you can soar above like an omnipotent force?
Yeah, with a jetpack. Oh. And I soared up above it, and it looked exactly like a swastika. Because it's like stemming out, and then it goes right angles. And I was like, oh, shit. Do I change it? And I showed it to Aaron, and she's like, yeah, that really looks like a swastika. And I said, yeah, and it looks like a swastika for the worst reason, efficiency. It would be one thing if I was just some punk kid, but it was like, yeah, no, I made this thing that sorts things and processes them, and it was an accidental byproduct that it's like I look down and there's Hitler giving me the thumbs up. You're doing great. Good job, Mr. Cobblestone Dominator.
I mean, I just started playing, well, not too long ago, playing Clash of Clans, and every, you know, 100th base you go see looks like a swastika. And sometimes I think it's accidental. Some are on purpose. Some are just geometric shapes that look like they have a little swirly, like, you know, like right angles, and they are either backwards or proper swastikas. And some are like, okay, that guy's his name also has like, you know, like umlauts in it and shit.
So that's how they're trying to. That's how they're gonna make a comeback. The Clash of Clans.
When I was a kid, this might be bullshit, but I remember being a little kid on Main Street in Disneyland, and when you walk down Main Street, there's curtains, and supposedly, and it was imprinted on my mind, but there were curtains that had little swastikas on them on Main Street. But that's also like an old timey, you know, like an old, you know.
An old-timey Nazi.
That symbol predates Nazism by.
I don't think that there were like Incan Indians or whoever used it, but like that symbol predates Nazism in the sense
it's Indian.
It's an American
Indian
Native American
Sanskrit or
Indian, yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. Like my friend.
Yeah, but he's saying
I don't think
Disney wasn't really into India.
Anyways. Jesus Christ, are you dying?
I'm cool as a trout over
here.
Really?
Maybe I just fat. It's cheat day. Yeah, it's cheat day. I'm probably sweating like cupcakes.
You're sweating like, you look like Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter right now.
It's a Chris Rock joke.
I thought that was a Dallas reference. You're so old. I don't even know what we're talking about. Patrick Ewing, wasn't he an oil tycoon? And all that primetime soap opera?
Why are you sweating so much? Everybody,
I see people fanning. Yeah, it's he's fan. I'm like a freshly served Big Mac here. I should have said McRib. That would have been funnier. Stay tuned after the show for Harmontown After Hours, where I do a little punch up on my on all the things I say. Why don't we bring out Aaron McGathy. Yeah. Yeah, you look very pretty, and you're very jolly, and you're dancing. But in 5 minutes, you're gonna look like this.
You have a lot of layers on right now.
I feel like a fucking rosemary potato.
You're dressed for like a brisk spring day.
Yeah, I am. I know I've gained some weight recently, and I'm doing a. It's an illusion. I'm a body magician. The layers make you think, oh, she's so thin that she has to heat up. It's called the Mary Kate diet, is what I'm doing.
She's chilled to the bone.
Right now. I feel very comfortable, though.
I did, too, when I first came up here. It's heat, you know? It takes a while. It takes a second. I will tell you during this pause that after the show tonight, our producer, Dustin Marshall's lovely girlfriend, Elizabeth Messick, is doing a little gig, a little half-hour spot with her band over at Harvard and
Golden
Stone.
Golden Afternoon.
Harvard and Stone, really?
Yeah. It's only a couple minutes from here, so...
It's a rock and roll venue.
I don't know if I will be going to the drawing room tonight after the show, as we usually do, because I will be dead on the floor like a like a recently recaptured Scientologist thrown into a... thrown into their detox chamber. I'm sweating my life force out right now, so I probably won't be able to.
Do you have a bottle of water here? Take this.
I have God's water.
There's loads of water. You're Bikram podcasting.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, if you're gonna call my bluff, I'll stop complaining. I'm not gonna hydrate.
Hates water. Hates drinking water.
How's it going, sweetie? What's it like to be engaged to me? You like it?
You mean like the period before getting married, like an engagement? Is it? Yeah, it's great. It's good.
All right.
Resounding hooray.
I mean, I feel spiritually like we got engaged much. Oh, someone's fairy friend has visited. I don't know. Yeah, it's great. I love it.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't have anything tonight.
Today was a really fun day.
Yeah.
It was kind of a perfect day.
What happened? Take us through your day, Aaron.
Well, we were up. I forced you to play Catchphrase last night, Jeff Davis.
Yeah, I was home at like 10:30 p.m. and then went to your guys' place at midnight, I think,
mm-hmm.
and left there at 3:30.
We played Catchphrase and we watched Who's Line.
And also, we cried looking at YouTubes about people loving animals.
It was just another night at Dan and Aaron's.
I remember we were watching Dogs Decoded. A Nova episode about dogs.
About Russian ladies trying to make foxes angry and shit. It was really ugly.
It was upsetting.
Well, it was like, they were showing this, Russian lady who was trying to figure out if tameness in canines is genetic or if it's nurture. And so she had all these foxes in cages and they were breeding one half of them for tameness, taking the tamest one from each litter and breeding them and so on and so forth. And the others, they were taking the aggressive ones and doing the same thing. So they had two collections of foxes. And they were learning an incredibly important thing about genetics. They weren't really trying to impress the dogs or anything. But Aaron just kept going like,
Why? Get those dogs out of the cage. You don't have to put dogs in cages.
They're foxes. It's in Russia. It's 1993.
I was about to say, I don't really remember the documentary.
Get that dog out of the cage. Get it out.
It's a rape culture. It's just it's a male gaze. It's another Negroni.
Negroni is what I just said. So we were up, which is a cocktail made with vermouth,
Campari.
Gin, and Campari.
So it turns out...
We played three-person catchphrase. What I'm leading to is that we woke up very hungover. Also, when you left last night, Jeff, somehow you closed the gate so the gate came inside and was locked. And our friends Kimber and Dave, who were staying in our guest room, Dave had to teach a class this morning and he couldn't get out and he had to jump the fence.
I just closed it behind me.
Yeah, it's not your fault. It's the shitty gate. It's not your fault.
I found the weird secret button to get out. And I did that, and then I closed it behind me.
It's not your fault at all, but because it's happened once before. If it hadn't, then whoof. The gate, it closed so hard that our friend couldn't get out of the gate. What we had to do is we had to like take a credit card. I actually used Dan's pot card. So I was like, well, this is like, this could be fucked up, right? Like, they're not going to be like, well, sir, your pot card's not pristine. I don't think you're ready to handle this marijuana.
It's a prescription card for medicine I use for my anxiety.
Right. So I think it being fucked up is more of a reason for you to get the medicine. You're like, look what I did.
I was so anxious. I tried to eat it.
But I got up at like 11:30 because my friends couldn't leave the house and got them out. And then I started. I've been on a little baking kick. So I was doing you're welcome, guys. Someone pointed out earlier how dangerous it is to put runts on cupcakes. Is everybody okay?
Runts?
Yeah, runts. You know, there's a banana and other colored balls. And that thing is kind of
dangerous. The world's biggest, hardest sprinkles.
Yeah, they're dangerous because they're not meant to be like sprinkles. Like if you were to just swallow it, maybe you could choke or break your teeth. But it sounds like everybody's okay. Okay.
Dead men tell no tales.
we were hungover. It was a late morning. It was just very fun because I was baking and I was watching a family movie like I like to do. I watched Monsters vs. Aliens. Very great. Very body positive. Made me feel really good. Someone just said, what? Watch it.
It's body positive. You just have to understand that if you're a giant, you're a monster.
But then you're like, no, I want to be a monster.
Right,
just
I want to be a monster.
Just see it. Seth Rogen laughs his laugh too many times. Just see it.
Is that Amy Poehler in the lead role? It sounded like
no. I think it's Reese.
Oh, okay.
Witherspoon. That's a crazy name.
She should own a media conglomerate.
Yeah, like Sumner Redstone or...
Reese Witherspoon acquired Warner Cable today.
Yeah, we've joked about how media conglomerate presidents always have like
warlock
mystical
names.
Warlock names. Yeah.
Yeah, Sumner Redstone? Jesus Christ, don't hurt me. Don't hurt my village.
Blood River Knife Town.
Even Rupert Murdoch's getting a little Salem-y.
He's at the top of a coal tower for sure.
Yeah, Rupert, who's the other one?
You don't write a script and the good guy's name is Rupert Murdoch.
Who's the other one? There's another one like Sumner Redstone. That one's the
sexiest.
There's
another one.
There's a third one that's like also like Wind Whip Willowman.
Well, that's wicker, an assistant.
Wicker Spellcraft.
Wicker Spellcraft.
Wicker Spellcraft.
Smooth Moon.
Oh,
hey, everybody. Oh.
Why don't you let that be Spencer's theme and we'll bring him out.
Spencer's theme!
Spencer!
Get out of Spencer. Spencer's
Spencer bounds to the stage like a gazelle.
It's a real obstacle course, but yeah, I'm coordinated.
You're like Patrick Ewing.
The president?
Yeah.
Spencer, take us through either a highlight or low light of your day today.
Of my day?
Yeah.
I don't know. I hung out with Abed this morning. Real Abed for you guys.
Highlight or low light?
That was the highlight. He's a cool guy. We sometimes he wakes up in the morning, so I text him. I'm like, let's go to Porto's Bakery. And we do.
Oh, God. Does he die other days?
Some days he doesn't wake up so early.
Oh, Aaron. I was woken up by Aaron, who clearly thought I might have been dead. She woke me. She's like, Dan. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, oof.
He was very still.
I'm just 41. That's all.
We were watching documentary, like YouTube bits, and Dan and Aaron's place, and you know, there's the thing where the guy reunites with the gorilla, and there's the guy that gets the whale free, and the whale starts breaching and putting on a display. So we're all kind of tearing up. Dan falls asleep, goes, "I'm leaving. I'm going to bed." And then we start playing catchphrase, and at some point, Aaron says, "I gotta go to the bathroom." All right, okay, and then she just crawls.
Oh, no.
And it's not like the bathroom's right there. She has to leave a room, leave another room, and then go to a hallway. She just crawled like a giant baby.
I mean...
Didn't bother to walk.
I was very drunk at last week's Hammertown and spent a lot of this...
Hammertown.
It's a podcast I do after this one.
That was a Freudian somersault. Yeah. God damn it.
Did I really say Cameratown? Did I say Cameratown?
I said Hammertown.
All right. Oh, stop.
Okay. Hammertown.
Feel very ashamed of how wasted I was at last week's Hermantown because we had been drinking all day, and then I do not remember crawling to the bathrooms. I was having a blast.
There was a lot of hollering in the last Hermantown. There was lots of yelling.
I got a little sloppy, yeah. I think I was a little nervous, Dana Carvey, and I maybe drank a little too much.
I was crying. I was a real mess.
Did you have lunch?
No.
If I don't have lunch, I will literally cry. It's really embarrassing.
If you don't eat lunch, you'll just start crying?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously, I've never had this kind of burden, but I'd imagine it's a tiny bit what it's like to get PMS. Just sure. In terms of, like, I'll just, like, I'll realize I'm crying, and I'll be
right,
like, why am I crying? Oh, yeah. Because it's 3 o'clock, and I haven't had any Chinese food.
Similar thing where, like, when you have people experience PMS in different ways, but sometimes one will find themselves crying and be like, why am I such a, oh, it's this.
Yeah, I'm it's about just something physiological.
The surge happened. Is coming.
Yeah.
Spencer, next time you and Abed go for early morning Porto's Bakery, can I come along?
Sure, yeah. Are you up in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Woo!
I got some tweets. I know we have some far, some pilgrims that have come from far and away to see Hermantown tonight. I think there's someone from Belgium here, isn't there?
No, whoa. Is it really? Belgium? Right over there.
I see it.
Wow.
Belgium.
Why did someone else clap over there?
Maybe they just love Belgium.
Belgium has the best Christmas rituals.
What's your name, if you don't mind us asking? Oh, where's the Belgian guy?
Evod?
Levi. Oh, shit. Evod, man, that's foreign. Levi, are you shy? Do you want to come talk to us about Belgium at all? Okay.
Levi!
So it's a tiny country nestled in the highlands of the Belgia area.
Dan, before Levi can fill you in, what do you honestly know about Belgium as a country?
Small. Landlocked.
No.
All right, that's it. That's all I know. Tell us anything, Levi. What are you doing out here? Business trip? Pleasure trip?
Road trip.
Just a road trip?
Yeah.
Levi, you could have flown.
You just came out to the North America to just drive around?
Yeah.
Oh, where else are you going?
Here after I'm going
Joshua Tree Park.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you going to do some of those drugs?
No. I don't do drugs.
Ah. Well, it won't be as fun as you think it will be. It's a desert, and it's kind of shitty. People go because no one wants to be there.
No, it's gorgeous out there.
It is. I actually live there. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's great. You'll love it. But you really should do drugs. And I'll make it.
He's going to do drugs. His mom's listening, though.
Okay.
Is this your first stop, California, or?
Went to San Francisco first.
Oh, nice. We love San Francisco.
We do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of San Francisco?
Well, not the hilly parts. I walked and...
Oh, you walked around.
Oh, is there a hill myth in Belgium?
It's pretty flat.
Okay.
Yeah. So, not used to it.
What do you do in Belgium? Are you a student? You look kind of young.
I'm a baker.
A baker?
Oh! Yes, yes. What do you bake? Really? What do you... I mean, for your life?
Yeah.
Do you wear a hat?
My hair just grew a little.
Just a hairnet?
Yeah.
Just wear one of those hats.
Yeah. But on school, we had some those hats.
One
of
my favorite bakeries that I've ever been to is in Chicago, and it's Belgian, and they're amazing. It's like the best pastries, the best coffee. It's really, really wonderful.
Sorry. You go.
No, I think we were going to ask the same question.
Well, what's your favorite pastry? That you make, like what's
raspberry bavarois.
What is bavarois?
It's a sort of mousse, but
and a Lewis Carroll poem.
Beware the bavarois, my friend. You'll gain 20 pounds.
boy, a baker from Belgium. We're gonna waste this opportunity. I know it. We're not.
What do you think of American cuisine?
I like it. I like burgers, hot dogs, pizza.
Pizza.
What the podcast listeners don't know is that this guy is actually Werner Herzog. Werner Herzog is on stage pretending to be a Belgian baker.
So you listen to the podcast in Belgium?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why
listen to it?
It's very flattering that someone from a foreign country would like be tuning in.
I like community, so
okay.
I start listening to some podcasts with you. And
community is really important. Like just coming together as a group, understanding each other. Like
build
we
my
have
show.
Built a great community here.
It doesn't even mean that other thing anymore. It's like how Cheers stopped meaning anything. I'm always astounded. I always thought, and everybody always thought when we were making the show early on, this is definitely not going to be internationally accessible. But I don't know. I guess it is. I don't have a question for you. I'm just so curious about a person born and raised in a foreign country, like seeing community and going like, that's great. Like I'm so astounded that that's possible. I heard they love it in China, from an admittedly Chinese person.
But there's so many of them. It's called
communism.
Well, that's what I really chalked it up to. They said it's very like people really like it in China. It's subtitled and it's on this website that's like Chinese Hulu.
That's nice.
I think we talked about this already because I assumed when she said that I was like, I bet it's because it's such a
it's a collective.
Yeah,
Levi, what would you want Americans or whomever who's listening to this to know about Belgian people? Like, are you a? This could sound like I'm making a joke. Are you a Bell? You're Bell. Like what?
I'm a.
Someone said, "Oh man," but you just say Belgian. You don't say
Belgian.
Turk or okay.
It's just Belgian in English. Belg in Dutch.
What are the Flemish? Tell me about the Flemish.
something on the Flemish. We are very, as a folk, not outgoing. Like,
are you Flemish?
Yeah, Flemish.
No, what is Flemish? Is that part of being a Belgian or no?
Yeah, we have three parts of Belgium, technically. Flanders, where we speak Flemish.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
The new Infinity SX series.
Gold Bond powder. Oh, so in Flanders, they speak Flemish.
Yeah, and then you have the French part, but yeah, I don't really know what the English term for that is.
Whoa.
Someone call.
Your dad's here.
Can you say that again, sir?
Wankers.
Oh.
Wankers. We have a guy from Suffolk back there.
A guy from a Guy Ritchie movie.
You fucking Belgian toilet.
I'll tell you what you call them.
You know you're a fucking cunt. Go back, make your raspberry hooba goobies. And wait till the Germans fucking invade you again, you twat. You fucking toilet.
They don't call them wankers.
Oh.
Where are you from back there? Fucking Southampton? What is it? Huh?
London,
really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. You're just a shadow monster yes, from our vantage point.
Don't stab me later.
Yeah. Huh. That's wait, all it, yeah. do people in London really feel competitive against people in Belgium?
Is no, I think it was reacting to the French, right? It's like the French part, what do they call them, right? Sir?
Is that just your innate hatred of the French or French adjacent?
No, I'm just very jealous.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's adorable. That's nice.
All the Belgians, you know?
Wow. Wait, get up here, weirdo. Get up here.
Shadow monster to the stage.
London calling.
London shadow monster, get up here. I'm playing it to Scottish tune, if you don't mind.
If you want to, of course. We don't force anybody.
Oh, he's fucking, you're fucking coming up here, mate. You're fucking coming up.
International Harmontown.
All right. Hey, that was... No, I'm not sure. Sit down. No, what's your name, asshole?
Aaron, Pietro. I know. Why do you... Do?
Have a seat, sir. What's your name?
It's a term of endearment.
Both.
Pietro.
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 It's Pietro in Italian.
Pietro.
Yes.
But you, so are you of Italian descent?
My parents are both Italian, but I was born in Canada. Then I lived in the UK for 10, 15 years.
This guy's fucking good looking. Look at this guy. You're like a fucking... You're like a model. Are you like an international soccer star? Like a football
player? No, I heard you did some modeling, though.
Huh? As a kid?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, better than me. I've done shit all. My mother tells me I'm quite ugly, like constantly.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, she says, yeah, I look like buzzurro in Italian.
Buzzurro?
Yeah.
Which means what? Che cosa vuol dire?
Just like, yeah, just, you know, rough, rogue.
Really?
Person. Yeah.
Wow. Is she here?
No. Oh, good God. No, I ran away to America for a bit.
Ah, well, this is cool.
Yeah. Levi's like, can I please sit down now? Do you have more questions about Belgium?
Why did you scream out wankers? Which means masturbators. Why did you scream out? It's a wanker is somebody who masturbates and doesn't know they're doing it, right?
I thought it just meant penis.
Where?
Or they know they're doing it. I just mean like a wanker is somebody who's just like an animal.
No,
just,
no.
Like, jerks
in the
time.
UK, it's just uses like dick, I guess, here.
Yeah, like cock.
Right. No, yeah. I know it means like,
right.
Yeah. But I just mean...
I mean, I do masturbate, but I do know that one.
How frequently?
Oh, it really depends. I'm actually traveling with two guys over there, so it's a bit awkward.
Is that how frequent does he masturbate? Try today. I need to pull back.
No, if I'm doing coursework, then yeah, a lot. I do a lot of programming when I graduated, so...
So wait, does that mean a lot of masturbation?
Are you kidding? If you're programming for 15 hours straight, you know, internet.
No, I understand. I'm sorry.
You watch a few episodes of Community, you see Alison Brie, and you think, well.
Okay.
Wow.
Let's bring on our next guest, Alison Brie.
Everybody get your dicks out. Alison Brie!
Levi, who's your favorite community character? Is that a dumb question?
Abed.
Abed.
Yeah. It's relatable.
Yeah, relatable. You think you might be on the spectrum a little bit? I mean, that's why, or I mean, you're not half Arabic, who's actually played by a half Indian. But you think maybe you're a little.
A bit, I think.
Yeah. Like on the playground, did anybody ever come up to you and go, what are you doing? And then you look down and like your pants are down. or you just have like a booger on your shirt, or like, are you just, I don't know, you're just doing something wrong and you didn't know it was wrong until like everyone was in a circle around you going, what are you doing? You have a lot of memories like that?
Yeah. Just, hypothetically. Yeah. This is...
Don't stop, Dan. Just go through.
Did a girl named Sarah walk up? And?
So, yeah. You put that into your pastry? Like...
That's all a croissant is layers of pain.
Is cooking a way of? Do you put emotions into your cooking? Are you connecting with people when you're cooking? Do you think of it as a, or is it like a trade? Did your dad hand it down to you?
No, I actually started doing it because I didn't sleep well, so I decided to become a baker.
Hmm. Yeah. So you started in your own kitchen, and then you.
Not really. I started going to school for it.
Oh. So you couldn't sleep, so you got up and you enrolled in a school. You probably baked a couple things at home first. You probably have to bring those in when you apply, right? There's a muffin I made. It's a crepe. Got kind of cold on the way over.
You go to school when you're 12, and then you have a trimester you can try for baker, with meat, I don't know, butcher, yeah, and for a chef.
So in your school system, it's more trade oriented, right? Like it's not so much like funneling people into.
You have three courses.
Flanders.
Wankers.
And wankers.
Indian chief.
Candlestick makers.
You have the more traditional with the languages and stuff like that, and then the more practical, like jobs, like bakers, clothes makers, and stuff like that, and art school.
How's the unemployment there? Does everybody have a job?
Most people, yeah. Not many homeless people.
That's nice. Pietro, what are you were talking about programming, so you're a computer?
No, I did mechanical engineering. I just graduated in July.
Congratulations.
Do you live here in L.A., Pietro?
No, actually, I'm technically homeless. We got kicked out of a hostel because we booked the wrong nights. So we were actually going to sleep on our
car. So you're visiting from London?
Yeah, we drove. So we basically went to San Francisco first, and then we went to... Yeah, like him, yeah. I know, I'm amazed we didn't meet.
Whoa, what did you think of the hills?
The hills. I studied in Bristol, so I was used to hills. It's very hilly.
Fucking Bristol, Jesus Christ.
Fucking Bristol.
You know what they say about Bristol?
Full of cunts.
If you don't like walking on a level surface, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. That's the hilliest fucking borough of... The whole Queen's realm.
Yeah.
Old Queen.
Isn't Bristol Cockney rhyming slang for titties? Bristol's Bristol City titties, right?
It is.
It's Cockney rhyming slang for boobs. I'm gonna teach you something about London, my friend.
Please.
You see a girl walking, oh, look at those Bristols. You never heard that before?
No, I haven't.
You started.
I think we're more reserved though than
in
the U.S.
Bristol? No, yeah, I learned this from a friend who's from London.
Really?
Yeah, it's Cockney rhyming.
Oh, Jeff.
I'm a privately educated guy.
Oh, well,
I was joking.
World's fanciest homeless guy.
In your private education, did they teach you to scream wanker from the back of the... was that a day where you came to class with your with your little messenger bag?
I'm sorry, I hit my monocle has a chip on it. So.
That sounds like bullying.
He wasn't bragging. He's saying no. I've never heard that phrase.
He was saying he was private. He's a fancy pants.
No, he was explaining why. He
yelled wankers in the back of the room. He's a hooligan.
Aren't titties called Bristles? And he said, I don't think so. And you're like, I think they're called titties and Bristles. And he's like, I never heard that. And he's like, but in London. And he's like, well, I'm fucking posh.
But he's homeless.
But
you have enough money to fly abroad and cruise about. And you've graduated from you got a nice degree, probably.
Yeah, no.
What university did you go to? Oxford?
I wish. No, my friend did. I went to Bristol.
Is that right?
There's another one?
Did you get double first to one of the come?
No, I didn't. No, I partied way too much.
Yeah? What did you read?
Mechanical engineering.
Really?
I did my main research, which is in ultrasonic fluid levitation. So I levitated gin and...
fluid levitation? That sounds like code for wanking.
In a swimming pool. You jerk off in a swimming pool.
Who levitated some fluids in the hot tub?
That's just fancy.
I'm studying.
Fancy
talk. Don't tell me what tits are cold.
What is fluid levitation?
You just levitate particles of fluid.
You just keep going.
In the air. So you create, set up a three-dimensional...
For magnetics or...
For what?
With magnetic fields or what?
No. This is done entirely using air and vibrations. You just vibrate air.
Spencer, do you know about this?
Well, it sounds like, I mean, if you apply... Is it like a certain frequency that's like resonates?
Yeah, so you set up you call them like acoustic horns or an Angevin horn. You put some piezoelectric elements behind it. You apply an AC current at it, and then those vibrate because obviously piezoelectric elements change size of current. He knows. Yeah. And then that sets up a standing wave, which then you have nodes where you can put droplets in.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, do you like N-dubs?
Oh, I've heard of him. No, not really. I'm more of a Deadmau5 fan.
Yeah, Deadmau5. How do you feel about the Chavs?
The chavs.
What the hell are chavs? What's going on?
The chavs.
There's a feedback loop happening right now.
I don't have an accent.
I'm about to levitate some fluids over here.
When Spencer said N-dubs, I genuinely thought he was doing slang for the NWACP.
I mean, they've really been slipping.
Yeah.
I saw a picture on the internet. I'm sure this is not related at all. I thought it was somewhere in Denmark or something where some scientist had created a cloud in the middle of a room. It like looked like a regular cloud.
Yeah. I saw that.
So, was that you?
I was just wondering if that had to do with fluid levitation.
It was my spare time.
That's interesting. I mean, what do you, now that you have this this very specific knowledge, what kind of job are you looking to?
I actually already got a job with Toshiba in the UK. So I'll be doing research into futuristic city design, which sounds a bit weird.
Why is Toshiba going to be designing cities?
Toshiba has the wherewithal to design a city.
What do you know?
Yeah, but
old Detroit has a cancer. Cancer's called crime. Toshiba City will be enforced by a new kind of law enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, the fluid levitator 209.
Put your guns down, wankers.
You have 10 seconds before I come on you. Dumb. That was dumb. Stupid.
More like five.
I think that we have a really good lineup for D&D tonight. I feel like this is...
I don't know if I... Well, don't spring that on Spencer. How many characters do you have? Kumail's not here.
So I guess one, right? Kumail.
So you're saying we have to choose between...
I'm not saying that. I guess Jeff's saying that.
No. Right, that's the thing.
Levi, I have a question, because you brought up the Danish. Levi, why is a Danish called a Danish?
We call it that.
What do you call a Danish?
They call it the
Belgian.
A Belgian.
The homeland.
We call it boterkoeken, which basically is boterkoeken with butter.
Boterkoeken.
Boterkoeken.
Boterkoeken. Like a butter cookie.
Boterkoeken. Cook them with butter.
Right? It's, yeah, with butter because of all the layers of butter.
Yeah, but isn't it, a croissant is also layers of butter, right?
A lot of pastries have layers.
Yeah, but that's
layers.
A sort of boterkoeken. That's all from the same dough.
Yeah.
What kind of alternating current would you need to apply to layers of butter to make it? There's got to be a reason why this is happening.
Could we make the world's best croissant here tonight?
And it's like floating in the air. It's just like croissant vapor that you walk into. And you get a little bit of an electric shock, but you're like, whoa, boterkoeken.
First, Pietro would have to overcome his abiding hatred of the Belgians.
I thought it was directed at the French, no? I thought that was the joke.
Sorry.
We never have any French people come to Harmontown.
Good.
Anybody afraid to speak up?
What other countries are here?
Oi! Oi!
Well, it's pronounced we.
You can't.
I thought I heard people wooing for Canada.
Yeah.
Are you guys visiting from Canada? Okay.
Oh, you guys are...
Sorry.
You guys are so nice.
It's a melting pot. You can't get out. You don't get to retain any...
Levi, are you planning on going back home and spending your life in Belgium, or would you like to live here, maybe?
Jeff's looking for a roommate.
No, I'm going back home.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yes. What if he moved in with Jeff and Jeff, or Jeff said that he moved in with him, but he was a prisoner because of his and Jeff just wanted his cooking, we'd just come over and Levi'd be like, "Hi, everybody," and had this like scared look on his face, and Jeff was like, "No, he likes it here."
I mean. Can't you imagine a world where Jeff's like, yeah, Levi's moving in, and in Belgium they do that. Like Jeff starts wearing different ties, and is teaching us how to do like Belgian cooking, and he just can't stop talking about Belgium. And also, you go to Belgium, and then they thank you for your innovations on there. It's a nice world. It's a compliment. It's fun. Okay.
Pietro, you're gonna go back to London? You want to live in England most of your life?
Yeah, I think so. Sorry. Yeah.
When Toshiba makes Toshiba City, where is that city gonna be?
what is it called currently?
I just have to wait and see, really.
An idea or is it like a
they're really into this is California, isn't it? So they're really into smart energy systems. So let's say if it's really sunny in Los Angeles, but it's pouring with rain in San Francisco, and there's solar panels everywhere, could you divert energy efficiently to San Francisco?
Yeah, I think about that.
So she was going to build a city that's going to steal weather? that's what I heard. It's raining in San Francisco. It should be over here. The sun's out. Our rain was stolen by a Japanese skyscraper.
Toshiba's like the villain from Rainbow Bright.
It's like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons.
Pietro, are you hard at work on the Rain Thief 2000?
I was trying to do a Mr. Burns. That didn't work out.
It sounded like you've heard of Herzog.
I thought to myself as I watched the recent Harmontown that things were decrepit, almost painful.
I don't know. So what do we do? We got an extra person up here. Should Levi play a unicorn?
No, I should just go. I feel like I really just interrupted rather beautiful here.
But the crowd's fallen in love with you, Pietro.
Yeah, you're just doing that.
The hearts and minds.
He's just doing that Downton Abbey, upper class, humility thing.
I've been given so much.
Pietro, Lady Mary would love you to stay.
I know you need it more than I do as a private, privately schooled.
Brought up well. I don't want to overstay my welcome. This is your show.
No.
No, you haven't. No, you're both great. You're both lovely.
It's an international Harmontown. We're going to find something for Levi to do. In the middle of the game, it's going to be an amazing non-player character that Spencer comes up with.
Maybe he could be kind of your kind of laconic like Avengers and kind of a like like a
Oh, he could be Avenger.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Nailed it.
All right. Eva, are you familiar with Avenger? Are you?
Yeah.
All right. We're in.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. Well, he gets out the character sheets. So you're watching Community, which surprises me when people in non-English speaking countries are like watching Community and going like, I get it. That's the funny joke about Pokemon. But because that's American. And so's Toshiba. But then you're listening to Harmontown. I mean, I guess I'm putting you on the spot. I'm like some dumb person at a party going like, why do you like me? Right? I just started wondering, like, when you're listening to, I know, it's because you're baking. So you're like, you want to listen to just like white noise.
No, it interests me. Also listen to the Nerdist writers panel, like all that stuff behind TV.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
You like pop culture and stuff. Yeah,
stuff like that.
What do you think about that Acker? That Acker, Ben Acker.
Huh. Who do you like better, Acker or Blacker?
This guy doesn't even listen to the podcast.
Blacker, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, Blacker. Because he's Blacker. Blacker's better.
Thank you guys for being here.
All right, can we dispense? Can we hand out the character sheets?
You can do whatever you want, man.
Pass them down.
That's all.
So I guess, Pietro, you're going to play Krista Berg. Are you familiar with this?
I heard one or two podcasts.
You're a thief. Yeah, you're a rogue.
You're
a dashing British-Italian
villain.
Fluid levitating rogue.
Twat, yeah. No, I got it.
That's perfect. Get that to Pietro, I think. And this must be Jeff's. Get that all the way down to Jeff. And then Levi, you're Jeff. Just playing my Hawk Avenger. Right, he doesn't Spencer, have a sheet.
Spencer, you good to go?
Wait.
Oh, this is Aaron.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Last time on Harmontown, our gang was under attack. After escaping a black dragon and narrowly dodging a crashing airship, our heroes headed out of the Purple Canyons and found themselves on the road to Rosebook with a robot baby named Lodgy. Rosebook was a quaint little town at the outskirts of the Purple Mountains, less than a mile away, but as the gang drew closer, they saw a horse-drawn carriage under attack by orcish marauders. The gang leapt into action, all except Sharpie, who was so busy masturbating that he didn't even realize the deadly melee Wanker. Taking place all around him.
Sorry.
Our heroes struck, felling a third of the orcs in a single moment as Sharpie waded into the fray, yelling and confused. Moraine, perhaps possessed by the spirit of Duncan Trussell, took her own life, stabbing herself in the eyes and turning her brain matter into mush, killing her instantly. Cut the music. Cut it off. Kill it. Kill the music. Like Moraine. All right. So yeah, that's what just happened. You hear the beginning of a scream quickly cut short. You turn to see Moraine fall to the dirt, blood and brains spilling from her eye socket. A nearby orc sees this happen and attempts to make it look like he did it. He points at his head with both thumbs and goes, "This orc."
No!
You can tell.
Though. I react.
Is that the whole reaction?
Moraine!
Is that his cum face? I'm confused. I thought you said, because it was a plot twist. You're always masturbating. Yeah,
all of Dan's faces are his cum faces.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I'm usually listening to the podcast when I'm coming.
So is it... Is that orcish? Are we still battling those orcs?
Oh, yeah. You're in the middle of a fight. So this happened in the middle of a combat.
So Moraine is laying dead with a smushed brain.
And a sword in her face. Yep. It's tragic.
I take her sword out and to avenge her suicide. I charge at the orc in a barbarian rage.
You charge at the orc? Oh, you miss him, though.
You charge at the Lork, but maybe it's the sword that you've never used before. It just is too heavy or something.
I run back and put it back in her face.
Avenger, attack the nearest orc with your bird claws. After giving your mighty Belgian scream.
That's just how they sound over there.
Yeah, no, it's like different countries have different words for, yeah, you know, like
cock-a-doodle-doo.
Yeah, yeah, in Spanish, yeah, chickens go kikiriko-tukutukudu.
Avenger the Hawk, with his battle cry, scratches at the orc that Quark missed with his blade, clawing his eyes and dealing 4 damage. The orc is running around screaming.
I'm going to do Shocking Grasp on him if I can get to him.
On the same orc?
Yep.
All right. You try to do that. You miss also. You lunge towards him with a Shocking Grasp, but he nimbly dodges out of the way. While being hawked. Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
Well, it's that orc's turn. He's trying to... He tries to dislodge the hawk from his face, but instead he just falls and he impales himself on Mulrain's face sword. Well, I guess it's not an impalement. It's more of just a slice. But, you know, he's dead. He's dead.
He tried to get the hawk off and he killed himself.
Half the orcs are dead.
Nobody touched that sword.
The other orc, one of the other orcs runs away just because he realizes he's outnumbered. And then, is that 2 left? That's 2 left, I think. Yeah, 2 left. 2 orcs left. The other one just, he looks at the damage and he's kind of freaked out.
So is it Krista Burke's turn then, maybe?
It would be, yeah, Chris Burke's turn.
Yeah, so can I throw my poison dagger at the last orc? There's one more?
I think I said 2 more, right?
Two more. Okay.
But yeah, you do that. You do that and you strike him right in the neck, dealing... Where's the... Oh. 4 damage.
Wow. Hawk
to
damage.
His neck.
Hawk. That's like damage. A hawk knife, yeah.
Every little helps.
Standard hawk damage.
He bleeds quite heavily and clutches at his throat, putting it at Quark's turn.
I take my mighty greatsword out and I go and I aim right at his kneecaps and try to cleave his knees just so I don't want him to die fast. I want him to bleed out.
You cleave at his knees and you slice them open. Wait, what's your damage again? I can never remember.
On the mighty greatsword, it is 2d8 plus 7.
Yeah. He explodes from the knees.
Jesus Christ.
His discs rupture.
God. Jesus.
I'm plus a million against orcs.
The last orc, the leader orc, he's wearing a helmet and holding a gold axe. He grumbles. He's like, I'm not going to die today, you bastards. He pulls out a necklace. Oh, I have it written down. He pulls out a necklace from a pouch. It's covered in 3 dangling glass baubles, each of which contains a blazing, fiery nexus of light. He takes 3 or 4 measured steps back and then hurls the necklace directly into the middle of all of you guys.
Oh, thank you.
It streaks like a bullet directly towards the horse-drawn carriage, and for a split second, all you can hear is the delicate shattering of glass. But then a massive explosion rips forth, decimating the carriage and creating a large mushroom cloud in its wake. You can see that gnome that was earlier atop the carriage blasting off like a rocket. He goes at least 20 feet upwards before plummeting back into the earth, landing on packed ground with a sickening snap. He's still... But the massive shockwave rips forth in all directions, consuming all sorts of things in its blazing trail. Make reflex saves. What are your reflex saves?
My reflex save is 5.
5.
I'm dead. So infinite.
And my dexterity is 14.
All right. Well, I rolled really high, so everybody
I got 5,
saves.
Sorry, I got 5, yeah.
All right, you all save. Everybody but Jeff takes 13 damage.
So, as blazing fire consumes your bodies and lights things on fire, not your whole bodies though, just 13 damage worth of your bodies.
But I'm
rolled
good.
High.
I'm what? Good.
You're good because you got the dodgy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole carriage is consumed in a fiery blaze, and then the orc, he clicks his heels together, and little feathers pop out of his boots, and he flies away.
What the hell kind of orc?
This isn't the last you've seen of Vathros the Mighty!
Afros?
Vathros! He disappears, leaving nothing but burning carnage.
Is that necklace still there, or was that consumed?
It exploded.
Vathros the Mighty. I bet we're going to see that guy again. I hope we do. I got a score to settle.
And make a note, that's how much three glass bulbs do on a necklace. Like, you know, if anyone ever throws down one of those things and it's got one on it, you'll be like, all right. No biggie. It's like an M80.
I go up to the gnome that snapped on the packed earth, and I examine his body.
He's pretty still, but his eyelids flicker open, and he's like, "Oh, help me! I can't move."
Sharpie, heal this man.
I'm a wizard.
You have no heal spells?
Mm-mm. No. No, that's not really a direction I went. I chose to specialize in shrinking people and.
Mulrain, do you have a heal spell on you?
Dead.
Dead. I loot Mulrain.
Oh, I guess she got blown up? Yeah. All the possessions anywhere in the fireball explosion are completely worthless.
So she's gone? She just vaporized?
I guess.
Really?
If she was in the fireball, yeah.
Ouch.
I think that's how it works.
Well, okay.
Don't you have some good berries or something for the?
I don't. That's a different game.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, okay. I guess so. The dust is kind of settling right now, and I guess we can take stock of the fact that Mulrain, who we've grown to know and love, is just she's been completely vaporized. Gone.
I go to the dying guy, and I go, "Why were they attacking you?"
I'm a brewer. They were trying to steal from my distillery. It blew up.
What do you make, potions or beer?
I make spirits.
Like beer spirits? Or?
Yeah.
A guy that can blow things up and fly with his boots wanted to steal beer?
If I had to guess, I don't think he knew my wares.
He probably thought you had, like, potions or something, huh?
Maybe. I do my experiments out here to stay safe.
Beer experiments?
Yeah. It's pretty volatile. It's a moving still.
But now it's blown up. It's gone, right?
It sure was.
Are you okay? How do you feel right now?
I can't move at all.
I massage him and try to heal him.
Okay.
You massage him, making sure to stimulate his fascial layers. He doesn't seem to react. His neck looks broken.
I do have a brew potion feat. I don't know if I can look around. I also have knowledge of... No, I don't.
Well, everything's all blown up. It's all completely...
Oh, I thought maybe I could see like a piece of milk thistle.
It was a crazy magic fireball.
Yeah. All right, well, I think what's happened, sir, is that your back and or neck may be broken.
Mm.
You're going to have to hold still for a while, and you don't have a choice.
How far are we from the nearest city?
We're very close to my town, Rosebook. I should take me there.
I pick him up and throw him over my shoulder.
Hey, well, you're not supposed to move him. I heard somewhere you're not supposed to.
that die was cast, man.
What about my mage hand spell? Can I use that to like lift a dude?
Nah,
like,
he weighs more than 5 pounds.
And levitate?
You could levitate him, yeah.
Like all the way to town?
Sure.
I'm gonna levitate you.
I put him back down.
it's gonna hurt a little, but not as much as that did. So.
I can't do anything.
Right.
We'll levitate you. You lead the way to Rosebook.
It's, you can see it from here.
Okay.
Hocus pocus, body floatus.
And as the body lifts into the air, you begin to hear the loud rumbling of thunder as the sky darkens above you. Krakow, krakow, lightning. Krakow, more lightning. From the east, you can see a blazing white light flying through the sky. It's quite far away, but you can see even from here that it's aloft on great wings of flame. Wings that shed flame onto the ground with each beat, lighting fires and blazes all across the earth below.
Wait, wait, I can calm winds, it says here.
It doesn't look like it's winds.
Not even slow down a little bit, no?
It's too far off, okay. Anyway. Okay. It looks like it's maybe about 6 miles off. It'll be some time before it gets here, but it's definitely apocalyptic looking.
Uh-oh. Looks like cool. A storm's a-brewing.
We gotta get out of here! Okay, let's run. Everybody run to Rosebud.
Okay, I trot while levitating. Hocus pocus body floaters. Hocus pocus body floaters.
You arrive at Rosebook. You can see a ring of white monolithic pillars, each draped in bright red roses. It kind of forms a fence around the city, giving a very secured and beautiful appearance. You can see the front gate of the city as several farmers with various livestock are kind of ushered in by a few city guards, the lead of which is a female paladin in bright, shining armor, kind of giving directions to the city guardsmen and ushering people inside for safety.
This way. Move on by. Looking good. All right. Mm-hmm.
You guys are close now. You're right up there at the front gate.
Aaron, did you write a new character for us?
Hmm?
You, female paladin, what is your name?
Yes, hello, hi.
And maybe give us a lengthy backstory. I pull up a rock and sit down for what I intend to be a long period of backstory character development.
I send Avenger, my Belgian hawk, Avenger, give your battle cry and go check out that storm. See, don't risk anything, but see if you can get a vantage point and report back.
Woo woo!
Avenger takes flight. It's going to be some time before he's returned, like at least 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, so who's this tough guy here?
Hey, everybody. My name is Dignity Sarsgaard. I fight for truth. I look for heroes. I support heroes. I myself am a hero.
That's a brave stance.
You know what, my friends? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is brave, and I like to think of myself as constantly brave.
Well, we just want to get in, so we'll just... Well, nice to meet you. We're just going to go past.
I saw you pull up a rock. I'm from the town of Citrus. You may have heard of it. Town covered in oranges. Everyone wore orange. It was an orange-focused town. But then one day, a rain thief, or a sun thief, God, I wish it was a rain thief, came by and...
I pull up another rock.
You know what? Enough about me. You guys...
No, we're just passing through. We're just going to get through the gate, and thanks, how do you do, and nice to meet you.
Yeah, but if when you get off...
I just got off.
Me too. dumb, stupid.
I didn't realize that you were on the job. I take a 10-hour shift every day of looking for truth and honor in everything that I see and feel. It's my own job that I put upon myself, but I would. I was looking for a gang to travel with.
Yeah,
and
no,
I
like this rock enthusiast. We're still grieving over a lost friend.
I will join you. It's too soon. You need
too much has happened, Sarsgaard. Sarsgaard, too much has happened.
Let's go.
No. Sarsgaard, we keep.
Like I always say, let's jazz for light.
Well, what?
I just
what? What?
Jazz for life? Guys, I pull a meeting with Sharpie and Krista Berg. I pull a sidebar.
Jazz for life?
Yeah, I pull Sharpie and Krista Berg aside and go, guys, I got a really bad vibe off of Dignity.
off in the corner. Zip it up, B.
Well, she's
clearly.
No one paid her to be out here, and she's.
Look, we have enough on our plate. We have enough on our plate right now.
Jazz for light.
She just strikes me as a kind of person that would probably hang out with us for a while, get bored of who she is, and kill herself and change her character. It just seems like another one of these weird identity crisis ladies we keep meeting.
All right, yeah, well,
hey, everybody.
I agree.
I thought maybe, I'm sorry, I know you guys are talking.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Hi! I just wanted to explain what jazzing for light means.
No, we got it, we got it.
I want you to understand, jazz, like improvisation.
It doesn't make, it doesn't
improvisational improvisation.
We're levitating
jazz.
A man who's dying.
It just means like you do whatever you...
We have to get this guy inside.
Right, yeah, okay, I'll join you, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Nobody asked you.
Let's zoom for truth.
I pull another sidebar. She just keeps making up catchphrases. I gotta fuck out. Trying way too hard.
I only have
trying
like,
way too hard.
I have my mana is at like 13%. I gotta levitate. This guy's gonna fall.
Yeah, we can. Hey, Dignity, we'll catch you on the flip-flop. We gotta get this guy inside.
It was nice to meet you,
nice
really.
To meet you.
I think our adventure right, days are over.
Yeah, we're kind of retiring.
I will absolutely join you. One of my attributes is that I hear what God wants to hear.
I pull a third sidebar.
Okay. I go to the side and I realize he's not talking to me and I walk away.
Okay. I pull a third sidebar. Sharpie, I'm going to stab Dignity Sarsen.
Now, come on. We don't even have to... is there another guard there? Can I ask? I knew what direction.
Yeah,
this man is wounded.
Guards.
He needs medical attention.
Oh, what? Who do you talk to?
I can heal.
Jesus Christ.
You can heal?
Dignity, we've had a long day.
This man's back is broken, I think.
Well...
And you guys
let me approach him.
Up. Sorry.
And I got all burnt up.
I approach the broken back levitated man.
You do that.
I use heal.
I never thought I'd miss Mulrain Sedana.
And I... Yes, I use that.
Wow, my hero.
Well, heal skill is like just you
okay.
Know,
okay.
Like,
well, under special.
Do you have a spell or a?
I do. Under special abilities, I have a 3d6 damage heals.
What is it? What's it called?
Heals.
Is it called? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. You touch the man and heal him for 14 points of damage. His various vertebrae crack back into place. He still can't quite move, but he can wiggle his toes a bit.
It's taken a lot of convincing, but I will join you on your quest.
We're not on a quest. We're kind of finishing a quest.
Well, I just wish I knew what was going on with Avenger right now.
Yeah, Avenger comes back.
It's oh, been he's
five
back.
5 to 10 minutes.
Woo-hoo!
And when he does, you realize...
I realize that in Belgium they only have owls. It's a small country. There's only so many birds of prey.
So he could see it looks like a blazing like figure of light kind of flying towards you. Looks dangerous. It's big. It's at least 30 feet big.
Okay.
Stand behind me.
Do we trust it?
Well, I think we should get into the town, right? I mean, these guys live in a place where there's...
I'm already in the town. I walked away a long time ago. I'm at a bar right now.
Is there an apothecary or a medicologist or a healer?
Yes,
or
there
a
is a medicologist in the center of town.
This guy's back is still fucked up. You did your best. Thank you.
I don't like the looks of this big glowing light thing that's coming our way, guys. Let's
I gotta... I gotta drop this guy off so I can wash my hands of him.
Here, come into the town. I'll show you around. Spencer, what is it called?
Constabulary.
Constabulary. Come to my constabulary.
Oh, I'm sorry. What? Okay. Is there a hospital?
In the constabulary, there is a very sophisticated first aid kit. And let's jam towards health.
All right.
So you killed your character off to become this completely different character. The same confused person.
I don't know who you're talking to.
You're liberated.
I don't want to sit on stage with Reddit right now. I would like to just do the show. Maybe some people said some things on Reddit, and I thought I should kill myself. I'm trying to sing towards light.
You're playing the game based on Reddit comments?
I never go on there and defend myself. I would like to just play the show and, you know, just go. Go be positive and not worry about what, you know.
Douche-coo 69. Bartman. SpongeBob.
I mean, the reason why I killed my character is because I was talking about it for so long, and then last week I felt like it was the right thing to do. And we can talk about that. If you want, but I felt like it was the right thing to do, and I realized this is also what I did in our private game.
You're responding to web negativity, and that's why you're changing the character, not because you wanted to try another thing.
I don't think.
I mean, you've been so positive towards my character that I don't know why I wouldn't want to live on forever. I mean, you've been such.
I've been the biggest supporter of your gameplay. I find you delightful.
Jeff, this is starting to feel mean.
This guy needs a hospital. I don't understand.
Let's go. Let's go. I whistle. Tooties, toot. Oh, I whistle and it sounds very similar to hooty hoo. What did you say? I whistle and a beautiful brown horse rides up. I found this horse wandering around.
It's Coco. You recognize it. You guys recognize it as Coco.
I lift everyone. I put them on Coco.
Can we just call you Mulrain? Because you remind us so much of our friend that just died?
I resent this right now, Jeff.
Okay. Who's Jeff?
Exactly. Who is Jeff?
Nothing. Thud.
I am not like Mulrain. I heard about Mulrain.
I take the guy over my shoulder and I take him inside the fort.
My vibes.
Ah, that hurts really bad. You're healed now, aren't you?
No, I'm a little healed.
I can't put him back down.
He needs to be
levitated. My arm's not broken anymore. My neck.
He needs to be levitated to a goddamn healer.
All right, I'm going to start walking with Coco towards the medicine cabinet inside the cop house, constabulary, thank you.
Two guards come out of the constabulary and they look at you and they run over with a stretcher and grab the guy and start stretching him along.
These guys are super fun. Too. They're really nice guys.
Thanks, Dignity.
You're welcome, Joe.
She remembered. Where was I? Hold up.
Avenger, when you saw this thing coming, how soon did you reckon it would get here based on its speed and your hawk knowledge?
10 minutes.
Is that right? 10 minutes?
I mean, you know, hawk time is like 4 times fast or something.
40 minutes? Can I? Here's the thing about me. All of my spells are depleted and have been for like 9 gaming sessions.
Well, I was thinking that too, but there was a good 3 weeks that you guys were regenerating spells and traveling to the Purple Mountains.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I think you're good.
All right. Good.
But, I mean, rest is always nice.
Yeah, can I make you guys some tea?
Yeah, you guys are in the constabulary. There's men with guard outfits. They're red and white uniforms. They're kind of walking in and out. There's a large sitting room where you're kind of near with tables and benches and a few off-duty guards sitting and drinking and talking.
Hmm. No. These guys. I pull up a table and I put down tea for everybody.
It's a dry city.
Sorry?
It's a dry city.
Like no
for alcohol. That's
liquid?
White tea. That's white tea.
Sorry? Oh,
everyone's
right. Oh,
drinking
I see.
Tea.
Yes. Yes.
Even those guys drinking earlier were drinking tea.
I wouldn't mind going and finding out these crystal crabs and shit that we've got in the Purple Cave are worth. Remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Those, like, crab things?
Is there someone in town that could appraise those items for us?
Who are you talking to?
To one of the red the guards.
I don't know. I'm off duty.
Is anybody on duty?
No one on duty's in the realm. Well, she's off duty, right? You're off duty?
Yeah, I'm off. I'm off duty, yeah. Spiritually.
And then she doesn't even work here.
Who knows, man?
You know these guys.
Spencer, do I know of a guy?
A what?
What was it we were just looking for?
I don't know.
I tell the guards, I warn them, in 40 minutes or so, there's a giant storm brewing that's coming our way. We need to defend the city. And do you guys have, like, defenses and an army that can protect us?
Yes.
Your sense of urgency worries me.
That was me, the dungeon master, because you weren't asking anybody.
I was asking the guard.
They are off duty.
What?
Do I know...
I appeal to their desire to be alive later on, whether they're working or not.
Yeah.
As dignity, do I have knowledge of like who's in charge of defense for the city?
Yeah. I mean, the guy who's in charge of everything, including the defense of the city, is the main patriarch, whose name is Father Tinder.
All right. Hey. Hi. Don't have to ask me twice. Hey, little guy. Oh, no, look up. Hey! Hi.
My name's Quark.
Quark.
Yes.
Dignity.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for the warm reception.
You got it.
I heard you talking. I would like to introduce
I know,
you to the...
You keep coming up into our sidebars.
Yeah, twice a week. I wash my hair twice a week. So... I would like to introduce you to a very special person. He's right around the corner. Can I lead you there? I know you're talking about defense.
And yes.
As a new member of your gang that will forever be with you and never leave, I would like to show you.
No matter even if someone says on Reddit to change your character? this one's here to stay?
Look, I'm not looking for more compliments. All right, so we... So I lead them, I try to, like, gesture to them and, like, walk out and show them Father Tenders.
Yeah, but before you could even open the doors swing wide and you can see Father Tinder himself striding through. He's a very handsome older man in white robes embroidered with red roses. He marches inside with guardsmen to his left and to his right. He says, "Greetings, guardsmen. Father Tinder here. Thank you for your service. You're all doing a fine job." Then he looks at Quark and his face hardens.
Oh.
He looks, he glances over at Dignity. Dignity, who are all these
Hi.
New faces?
These are my best friends. These are my best friends. These are my potential lovers. These are my future adventure haver together withers. These are the most important people on the face of the planet. This is Quark. He's great, and this is Sharpie. I overheard your name. He's very strong, and
this is Avenger.
And this is Christopher, who's been quietly listening.
Pleased to meet you.
He's very fancy.
They are. My new friends are concerned with the safety of the city, and I would like to help them protect the city because
There's
I feel like a
good
deed.
There's a big ball coming.
Oh, I know. You're adventurers, huh? It's dangerous work, isn't it? Brings danger all around, doesn't it?
There's a big white ball coming.
We don't really like danger so much here in Rosebud.
Are you animatronic?
No. We follow our beliefs strictly, and the Rosicrucian Codex clearly states that danger... is evil. And right now we got a whole lot of it.
I don't know if you know out there, but there's a demon coming right for us, blasting hellfire and screaming bloody murder. And I think you're behind it, gnome. Gnomes are always trouble.
I'm not behind it. I just came in here. We brought a gnome in.
Yeah, he points at the broken gnome. Ever since this gnome has been coming through town, making immoral drinks and poisoning our citizens, we've lost our god's favor. If you excuse me, I need to pray. Our clerics are already at the soul rods, reinforcing our wards. He looks over at Dignity with a lecherous gaze and says, you know, my soul rod's already rigidly reinforced. As he walks out, he says, feel free to stop by my juicery if anyone wants me to give him my special juice.
What?
New friends, you don't want the special juice. It's not that special. Everyone in this town can generate it, and his is warm.
Hey, Sharpie, Chris, let's get the hell out of this town. I don't like the looks of Father Tender. I don't like anything about this town. We dropped the guy off. We did our duty. Let's just keep moving.
Yeah.
I run out. Can I run out after Father Tender and use diplomacy?
Sure.
Okay. Chase after Father Tender.
What are you saying?
I'm saying, Father Tender, this gnome is not responsible for this demon. This gnome is necessary to the safety of this town, and you should treat this gnome like the special guest that he is.
You're right. I'll do that. But I got my eye on him. If you guys bring any more trouble, you're all fucked.
It's what he says when he leaves every room. It's his thing.
And he traipses out.
All right. Well, I don't know. I feel bad for this town. There's a thing coming.
I don't feel bad about this town at all. We've got a shitty reception from the get-go.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We've done worse things to people who have done less to us.
Do we still have a robot baby with us?
Oh, yeah.
Just checking. I
mean, and a power unit and 300 gold, apparently.
He could have been the robot baby. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That's on me, man. You're doing a great hawk, though.
The hawk is the highlight of my life. Right? Yeah. The noise is the best.
It's my new ringtone.
How far is it? I go up to the walls, the rosy walls of Rosebook, and look over and check out the light storm coming towards.
You can see the light storm drawing nearer. It's coming way faster than you'd ever expected. And as it nears, you can hear a voice calling out from the void. It sounds like,
oh, shit.
Heading straight towards the town, and within instance, it's upon you. But crashing towards the town, it smashes directly into solid air above the town. You see white wards sizzling and popping in midair, burning the angel's flesh and compelling it outside of the city. It circles around a few times, crashing into the barrier for longer.
Oh,
and it
Yoshi.
Stands firm.
Yoshi, the angel, right?
Yep. Yomiji?
Yomiji.
Yeah. Yomiji.
Yeah.
Toshiba?
Can't seem to get into the barrier.
Wow, the soul rods kept him out.
I told you.
Aside from that guy's lack of sexual harassment training, I guess he's an effective leader. He's got this place buckled down.
One of the guards speaks up. He's like, you know, that guy wasn't always a perv.
Hi.
That's all. See ya.
This is a weird city.
This town is weird. Yeah.
So we're safe. We're good.
It's over.
Crisis averted?
Where do we go next?
I walk out of the constabulary and walk into town to see if there's anyone. Are we going to try to cash in our little crystal crab thingies? Or?
Everyone seems kind of occupied looking at a giant flaming angel demon.
Is it still, it's just hovering out there?
Yeah, it's attacking this barrier.
Oh, no, immensely. It's still trying to get in. It didn't give up.
Yeah, it's like a velociraptor testing the weaknesses in an electrical fence.
Well, I don't think we're leaving this place until we take care of this guy.
All right. Is there a wise man in town, a Dignity?
Oh.
Do I know that there's
or a wise woman, or is there somebody?
I mean, hello, and also, the tender Mr. Father Tender is basically our wise man, and you saw how wise he is. I mean, it could be the
first on a list of many harrowing great adventures for you to join me in defending this city, and we can all jam towards the light. And if there was ever someone I wanted to jam towards light with, I think it would be you. You're very particular. And I like that. I like how particular you are. I realize you just lost your friend.
I don't think you care at all.
Really?
No.
I know, of course I do.
You never met her. You don't know how much we cared about her.
I have her horse.
I fucked that horse.
Well, then you love her.
I know. I'm saying maybe we got off on the wrong foot. We have had a very long day.
I understand.
The last thing you want is more adventures. We've had it up to here with adventures.
I understand. Well, then come to the flat where I'm staying, and I sit on. I made a blanket fort. I made a blanket fort.
You're not concerned about this angel attacking on the
No, thing? I am, but you're telling me that you're tired, and
I'm saying this when we first met, you wanted to go on more adventures, and I'm saying, like, look, it was like we're tired. Dude. Friend just got killed. Well, she killed herself.
Wait, Jeff, say we don't want to go on any more adventures again.
But say my name is my actual name.
Quark.
Yeah. We don't want to go on any more adventures.
Oh, Quark. And I look up at the angel top. I don't think the adventure cares.
Wait. Oh. And then I'll say my line again. Okay. I'll say my line again.
Okay.
Then you say your line again,
okay.
And I want to hear adventure. Just kind of chime in after you. Okay.
All right.
You know what?
But make it a special Avenger cry that this has a little bit of. Fear in it, or like kind of like
foreboding.
A cliffhanger, like it's like a foreboding, like ominous, like
okay. Pressure.
You know what, Sharpie, I don't want to go on any more adventures.
Well, Quark, I don't think the adventure cares.
Let's hear it for Levi from Belgium, everybody. Pietro from London. Thank you very much, sir. Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. Your mayor, Dan Harmon. Thank you one and all for coming. Justin Marshall and everybody here at Meltdown Comics for putting us on. We love you. Drive fast and take chances.